payments on the 2014 bond sale, we took $1.4 million from Colebrook. Now, that's really what happens if next year we have to come up with another 1.4 because we still haven't had, we don't have resolution with Colebrook. So that's going to have to go back on the water rate. So we're going to have, you know, we're not charging the water rate this year. We're going to use those reserves. That's fine. But next year, we're really kicking the can down the road. So we're going to have to come up with a $1.4 million if this issue doesn't get resolved with the Army Corps. We also use $1.7 million for DEEP of the 5.6. So right there, that's $3.1 million of the 5.6. Remaining is 2.5. We used $2.1 million from fund balance to initially reduce the ad valorem from 5.8% down to 2.1%. So we're also assuming, which is not really fair, but we're assuming that we're going to sell the same amount of water this year coming that we did this year, which is probably not prudent, but we're doing it because we've done these other things with fund balance and with the 5.6. So the more we cut, the more we're just going to wind up having to raise rates next year. But we are going to be in a position where we are really fine-tuning our staffing levels. We're really getting down to the nitty-gritty. And I don't recommend reducing payroll because when you're reducing payroll, you're reducing payroll by a department. And it doesn't allow the flexibility of filling positions when you need to mid-year in a different department that you may be budgeted in. So I don't recommend it. The issue regarding Mrs. Allen's comment on Niagara, again, we have this discussion every year. We can pull this rate. I will take her at her word that it was 40,000. Now, remember, there's a water, and Mrs. Allen mentioned, and this is, we talked about this last year's budget. There's also a loss in revenue on the clean water surcharge. But the clean water surcharge doesn't, if we lose revenue, and we're not losing revenue, we're just not charging revenue. But the revenue, the 200,000 loss on the clean water surcharge, we're not raising everyone's rate because we're not receiving $200,000 from Riverfront. I'm sorry, from Niagara. That's not the way it works. It doesn't work the same way with as it does on the water side. The $40,000 that is lost in trying to build a program that will encourage others to come to Connecticut is worth, in my opinion, the investment. The reality is you've got we've got people knocking on our doors right now. We're actually working through the Chairman DiBella and through Metro Hartford. We're talking to people. We're talking to people, big organizations that are looking to come to Connecticut, to our member towns. So, you know, pulling this rate back and forth, it just sends a message across the country. Don't even waste your energy with Connecticut because they can't figure out what they want to do. We need to have a structure that encourages economic development, or we don't. But pulling it out and putting it back every other year is just sending a message to businesses that we're not going to waste our energy. You know, businesses spend hundreds of thousands of dollars trying to invest in a community, and they're not going to look and try to and take that risk when there's the volatility of the MDC board changing its decision on whether or not we have an economic development rate on the water side.
All right, I got that, and that's really comment more towards revenues. So let's go back to, and I appreciate the comments. Believe me, let's go back to the expenditure side. And Mr. Silverstone's comments. Is there someone else that has a comment on this item?
Chairman Salemi, this is John Myrtle. Looking at the resolution, That special agreement. So, sorry to jump around. This can be addressed after this conversation continues. But the special agreements and programs, that $3.7 million that I referenced, I believe that needs to be increased by the $600,000 for Riverfront in order to arrive at the total of the $5.8 million. So somebody should make a subsequent amendment or a friendly amendment to do so before we vote on final approval.
Yeah, we already have an amendment on the floor, though, don't we? We have an amendment, John, on the floor. So why don't we deal with this and then amend this $600,000 amendment after it?
Okay. If I guess, I mean, one suggestion, is it possible if the board agrees to consider the – well, I mean, Chris Stone, I don't know if this is – or Chairman DeBella, if this is appropriate or permissible, but – can we kind of retroactively consider that prior amendment to include an update of that 3.7? Because the total dollar figure, the $5.895 million, is in fact correct. Just didn't originally include the water line item.
And what happens? Is it a revenue it has to be amended? Or an
expenditure bill. The expenditure bill under special permits and agreements.
Okay, so we can come back to that after we deal with what we're dealing with now, rather than putting another amendment on the floor.
Oh, that's fine. I just want to make sure the numbers add up. So water line
let's
item.
Let's make sure finance. Does finance tell us that what has to be done?
It could be. Chris Stone might be correct. Did we just miss the fact that $600,000 was not added back in? Is that your point, Chris?
Yeah, and I get the total. The total's correct, $5.895 million. That's absolutely correct. But when you separate it out between the water and sewer budgets, you're $600,000 short on the water side, and I don't want that to somehow be misinterpreted as and affecting the water rate.
Because I don't think we realized that was missed from the amendment.
Oh yeah, I think it's just a cleanup. It is no one's fault. It's just a cleanup. That's all. So we can deal with that with the subsequent amendment. That's fine.
Yeah, as a subsequent amendment.
Yep, that's fine.
That's really a balancing issue that
exactly.
will come up with
exactly.
after we make the adjustment. So
all right, we have to get back on track here. So what's on the floor now is a motion made by Chairman DeBella and seconded by Commissioner Curry. And so, John, where are we at with that? Okay, John Myrtle, that's the last thing I have here written down is that Bill made a motion on this. And then I asked if Scott would, make a comment regarding Mr. Silverstone's stuff. So we're back now to either listening to another comment on that motion or voting on it. So is there another comment? I know, Don Curry, you asked to say something about it. So if you have something, this would be the time to say it, I guess.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. I guess my question, a follow-up to Mr. Silverstone's proposal is at the present time and for the 21 budget, can we say that all of our positions that are presently on the books are funded?
Well, they have to be.
Yeah, just to clarify, Commissioner Curry. So, yes, all the positions are funded. The question really comes down to what Mr. Silverstone is suggesting, which I don't disagree with him, but the problem is we're guessing. And we guess at everything. Remember, our business is guessing. We guess at what we sell for water. There's big guesses. 70% of our revenue comes from guessing on how much water we're going to sell. And now we're going to guess on how many people retire. And it's too volatile to guess at everything. We need some certainty. And in the water side, as I said, 70% of our budget is based on revenues from selling water, and we guess. And we have guessed wrong for the last 12 years. And it's because no one in the country expected people to use less water. As population grows, it's been proven by Dr. Palmer from University of Massachusetts, which the Governor Malloy brought in during the 2014 crisis with UConn, providing selling water to UConn. Dr. Palmer told all of us that everyone has guessed wrong, that the projections of water consumption is not going up based on population, it's going down. So we need some certainty in on the water side, especially. And by guessing at all these things, it just creates havoc in trying to plan and budget.
All right, Scott. I appreciate it. Thanks. Mr. Curry, anything else?
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. I guess I'd follow up on that. And I understand that, you know, in the grand scheme of things, every municipality, especially those that are forced by referendum to do early budget, is just a guess. But we do have some information. I mean, we can go back two, three, I'm not sure how many years we go back, but if we've continually funded all our positions, and at the end of each fiscal year, you know, what was the unexpended dollars for various reasons? I mean, it's a guess, but it would certainly be an educated guess as to whether we could say an X percent could be unfunded positions, not elimination of positions, but just positions unfunded. And I know it would be a logistic nightmare for payroll and finance to keep balancing and the juggling the dollars around to make sure the positions that are full are funded. So, but I think we've got an educated guess that we can make, and I'm not sure that Mr. Silverstone's proposal is good or bad because I don't have that history. Because we don't see it in the budget. We see maybe 1 year back, but we don't see two, three, four, or 5 years back. So it'd be interesting to know what those numbers are and if we could make an educated guess based on that.
Mr. Chairman?
Go ahead, Mr. DiBella.
Yeah, Bill DiBella. Again, this is a speculation that I feel much more comfortable with an assessment by our people that understand how the issue of retirements and the other issue we've got to deal with is what was done at the board of water last night that has to be addressed, because what they did is in the revenue projections they're trying to get to zero increase on the water side, and they proposed I believe it's $1.4 million reduction in on that side that would drop the water rate to a zero increase. And that's got to be adjusted. I just think we're moving things around and we're being a little, in my opinion, I think we understand what we do in a $200 million budget. What some of the issues that the chief executive officer raised, I feel much more comfortable with his assessment than the assessment of numbers at the end of the year and how they correlate. So I would not support at this time, unless we have additional information from our executive, and we can have a discussion with Mr. Silverstone also. But I think to take that in and put it into the budget at this point in time, would not make sense. I think we have time. We can deal with that. It's got to go to the board. We got until the 7th of December to look at that closer. I'm just not comfortable, and I'm definitely not comfortable with the proposal to move an additional 7 cent reduction or increase in taking it out of our revenue source, which would be our surplus, taking $1.3 million or $1.4 million of additional revenue out to drop the rate on water down to what it is now. That would be a 14% reduction. Now, that would get us to zero in terms of an increase, and it's being compared to the ad valorem side. But remember, the ad valorem side has a revenue stream, potential revenue stream to offset that in the negotiation we're having. We do not have a revenue stream that's going to increase that 7 cents next year. That's a one-time allocation. Every time you take that as a one-time allocation, the following year, because you're going to find you're going to be short another seven cents, and you're going to have to increase your rate. It's not because water sales aren't going to increase at the rate that we're reducing the water rate. I think that the chief executive officer pointed out that water is not increasing in terms of consumption. All over the country, that's not happening. It's definitely not happening where we are. We've been fortunate this year, because of the pandemic, to have some increase in the water rate. But overall, that does not make any sense. And again, you're talking about a one-time allocation of surplus money out, which won't exist next year unless there's some kind of major reduction in what we're doing in terms of expenditures. And of course, the state was had the Board of Finance identify $1.4 million, I believe it would be 7 cents, that can reduce that to zero. But again, remember, it's a one-time allocation. Now, if you reduce certain things in the budget and they don't appear next year, that's different. So I at this point in time, I would not be supportive of making a change that on the issue of employee levels, and but we're willing to look at it if we had a little more information. But I don't believe tonight's the night to do that. We've all got time. If there's a strong feeling by the board itself, this has to go to the board. We can have that information available for them.
And Mr.
Right,
Chairman,
Mr. Chairman.
Yes, Mr. Chairman, sorry, this is Scott Jelsey again. I want to reassure, and I hope the board is reassured, because the facts speak for themselves. We have reduced the population not by just blindly cutting positions, which I think this recommendation is blindly cutting without a strategy. We have strategized over the last 10 years to reduce the manpower and womanpower of the MDC from 700 employees down to 454 employees. That wasn't done blindly. It was done with strategic planning involved that was done over 10 years. So to suggest that we're not doing our part, it's working. What we're doing is working. It's a fact. We have proven it's a fact by reducing 22 positions this year. You know, every year we've been reducing them positions. There should be no argument that management and leadership of the MDC is focused on reducing the levels of manpower and womanpower in this company, but we're doing it with a structure that is working for us. So cutting blindly is not what we've been doing for the last 10 years. And I just don't think that just blindly looking at a percentage and taking X amount of money from the payroll is defendable. What's defendable is we have reduced the number of positions in the last 5 years from 576 down to 454. And in the last 10 years, we were at 700. Yes, the 700 included 85 people from CRA. But we had to absorb. But we had to absorb 38 of those people. So no one can argue that there's not a plan of attack on how to address payroll. And I would just ask you to realize the facts that we have a plan, it's working, and please take my recommendation that we are doing everything we can to minimize and to make sure we've got the right level of manpower and womanpower at the MDC at any given time.
Thank you, Scott. And
Mr. Chairman,
are there any other comments on this?
Yeah, Commissioner Curry.
Go ahead.
Thank you. First, I agree with Chairman DiBella. Now is not the time, but we have ample time should we want to. But I'm not sure we're talking apples to apples. It's pretty common practice for municipalities to have unfunded positions. By no means am I suggesting or even hinting, I would hope, that I'm suggesting that we would eliminate whatever positions equals whatever that number could be based on the last 5 years. I'm not suggesting we would eliminate positions. I'm not asking or suggesting anything other than, why do we end up? I just want a logical explanation, and I know Scott's given one. But if we know every year we end up with $3.5 million, then we can still have positions unfunded without eliminating positions. So I just want to be clear. I'm certainly not. I think Scott and his cabinet are doing a wonderful job with that aspect of it. And I would never, at this point, say let's cut positions.
Thanks. Thank you, Commissioner. And so if there aren't any other comments, I'd like to just make a quick comment myself. When I opened this up for discussion, I had no idea it was going to get like this. I thought we were supposed to just we're going to try to respond to Mr. Silverstone's comments, which I believe he's saying that we set aside more money than he thinks we need, for the positions, that's due to the unfunded positions. And I'm at this point, if you guys want to take that up again at the district board, that's okay. And you have the opportunity to do that. But I suggest we move on here at the Board of Finance and accept what Scott's given us. And I say that for me, as your chair of finance and someone who's been, following this issue for many years, Scott's right. That we had a plan. This is not like every year to see how much more we can take off of this. This year, I thought it was 25, Scott, so forgive me. I know you said 22. 22 positions that we've cut this year, but we wouldn't be able to cut any of those if we didn't do the multitasking thing that we did with the collective bargaining units, where people now can cover, some of this work where individuals had to do all this before. That's part of a plan that's been going on for years at the MDC. And last but not least, this is a wild guess, but I'll bet the 22 positions that if we added up all the positions cut by the towns this year, they don't add up to 22 positions, and we're cutting 22. But that's just me. So I'd like to move on. John, if you can, we're at a motion and a second on an amendment. Is that correct? I'd like to call.
No, the motion on the floor is been seconded to approve item 4B as amended. But we need a new amendment to increase the $3.7 million on the water side of special agreements and programs to add in the $600,000 so that the total of 5.895 is accurate. So the water side of special agreements and programs should be amended from $3.7 million to $4.338,800.
$4.3 million.
That's with the amendment on the floor. Let me finish this, okay? Because we've already talked about this like five times. So that's what the amendment on the floor is about. So the question that needs to be answered is, okay, we're doing this as a mathematical thing that we're doing to try to make sure that what's displayed is correct. Is this going to change the water rate that we already saw? Our water rate now is at 405. Am I correct about that? And is this amendment going to
yes.
change that water rate?
No.
The water rate's calculated at 405. It includes the assumption and the direction of adding 600,000 back into for full, funding of Riverfront.
Okay, so I just want to make sure everybody understands that what we're talking about is not adding more cost or to the water rate. So, all right. So, are we ready to vote on this? If we are,
we need a commissioner to make a motion to change to amend the 3.7 million from on the water side of special grants and programs to amend it from 3.7 million to 4.3 million. That amendment has not been made yet. A motion has not been made.
All right. I thought we had that one already. Okay. Somebody want to make that motion? Please.
I move. Joan Gentile.
Okay. Motion's been made. Is that something? You know, motion's been made, and is there a second?
Second.
Okay, so motion's been made and seconded. All in favor signify by saying aye.
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 Aye. Any opposed, please signify by saying nay. Any abstentions? Hearing none, the motion carries unanimously. Okay, are we back to a main motion, John? That was an amendment.
I defer to others. But now that the main motion has been amended a second time, I believe somebody needs to move the motion as amended.
So move.
Okay. Motion has been made. Is there a second?
Second.
Motion is made and seconded. I'm hoping that there aren't any more questions on this, but I'd be remiss if I didn't ask. Is there anything else? Anybody have any other questions, comments? Hearing none, call for a vote. All in favor signify by saying aye.
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 Aye. Aye. Any opposed? Any abstentions? Hearing none, the motion carries unanimously. So we're now on item 4D, John. Is that where we are? Excuse me, John, for asking so many times.
No problem, Chairman. Item 4C, budget revenues.
Okay, I'm sorry. Yeah, okay. This virtual meetings, they're great because they facilitate getting stuff done, but not being able to just kind of talk to people it makes it difficult. For me, it's a little hard to keep track of where you are because it's all right. So on 4C, we need to adopt this budget revenues. Is that where we're at now, John?
Yes, and there is a proposed amendment that incorporates the changes for the Riverfront funding and ad valorem, and I guess probably Colebrook may as well, but you'll see on page 36 of the PDF after item 4C, there's a proposed amendment in your materials. There's changes to almost all of the line items, but a single amendment to or a single motion for all of those amendments will work.
Okay, yeah, so all the red ink is all the changes. That's what you're saying on the page. The amended totals are in red, and it's almost everything that was on the page. So then we wind up with total source of revenues, water and sewer operations, 205,515,900. Is that correct? $205,515,900?
Yes, correct. And that's, as you'll see, that's a $600,000 increase because that's the riverfront increased funding. You'll notice the ad valorem under the sewer revenues, the tax on member municipalities. At your last meeting, you voted to hold that steady from to the 2020 level. So it decreased from the proposed $53 million back down to the $51 million. And I'm not sure if the change on Colebrook, and since we're pulling that from reserves, I don't believe that's reflected anywhere on here, but it might be.
Okay, so I'm just trying to give everybody a place to go and see. So at the bottom of page 4C, you'll see a proposed amendment to 4C, and the final number is right above that, 205-550-900. All right, is there anything else? Was there another question?
Mr. Chairman?
Go ahead. Go ahead.
Yeah, through you to the clerk. Is that amendment, is that the $1.7 million that we transferred out of the $5.6 million surplus to on the ad valorem to reduce it to zero?
Correct. That's how the tax on the member municipalities decreases,
right. Okay. Is this also on the page where we establish a fund or a designation of ad valorem reduction, where we would deposit what monies come from the state, if any, into that fund? Is that?
No, there is a separate resolution for the ad valorem tax itself that breaks down the amount by towns.
No problem.
Okay.
Okay, Mr. Chairman, are you satisfied now that with your question?
Oh yeah, I'm fine. I'm fine.
All right. Okay. So, so we need to adopt this now, and John, do you want to? Does anybody need to read this motion or no?
No, it's in front of everybody.
Okay, we know where we're at then. So, okay. So, without any further questions or anything, is it all in favor? Please signify by saying aye.
We got need somebody to make a motion to amend and then move the main motion.
I thought that's what we just did. I thought we did that. So, all right. So we need to make another amendment. This is the third amendment. So, by my count, anyways. So someone needs to make a motion to adopt this amendment.
I make a motion.
Proposed. Yep. Okay, motion's made. Is there a second?
Second.
Thank you. So this is a proposed amendment to Board of Finance Fiscal Year 2021 Budget Revenues. Okay, the amendment is what you see on the page, the corrections or changes, what you see on the page.
Mm-hmm.
All in favor, signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Any opposed? Okay, hearing none. Any abstentions? Hearing none, the motion carries, or the amendment, I should say, carries unanimously. Okay, so now are we back at the main motion, John?
Yes, we need somebody to move the resolution as amended.
Okay, and the resolution... Thank you. Is there a second?
Second.
Okay, so there's a motion and a second. This is budget revenues, item C.
This is John Myrtle. Was that citizen member Gentile that moved? Okay, thank you.
Okay, thank you. So, again, this is item 4C. All in favor signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Any opposed? Any abstentions? Hearing none, item 4C is unanimously approved. Thanks, everybody. I know it's difficult to get through these things. It certainly has been for me because of the changes. So item 4D, hydroelectric expenditures and revenues. This is on page 4D. You can see the, let's see if I get that up there. B, 4C, 4D is Board of Finance consideration for this meeting. The recommends District Board for acceptance and approval of an appropriation of $409,100 for the operation of the hydroelectric program, which basically is not really operating much. It's nothing at Colebrook and something at Goodwin, Scott. Is that correct? Or what do we got going there?
Yes. So, Chris Martin, correct me if I'm wrong on that line item, but that we will not have any operations of hydro at Colebrook. Obviously, we removed the hydro equipment. All of the hydro work will be done at our Goodwin facility. But in terms of the dollar amount, Chris, on that line item.
Yeah, I think that's correct, Scott. The only other, the expenses for Colebrook have all been moved out. So it would just be that portion that remains.
Well, thank you. I just want to make sure all the commissioners and the citizen members understand that, because everybody's heard about, you know, the issue with Colebrook and that, you know, the issue that we have with the Army Corps there and that we're not doing anything out there. There's no hydro, but. And yet we have a hydroelectric expenditure in front of us. There may be some people that don't know that the Goodwin Dam, just below Colebrook, it also has a hydro facility. So I just wanted to make sure everybody understood that.
Chris Martin and or John Myrtle, is part of that. We still have taxes on the watershed land for the town of Colebrook. Is that part of that line item?
I'd ask that. Lisa, can you confirm that? Lisa Remsen, our manager of budget?
Yes, that is not included in there. That is included in the taxes in the operating budget. And another line item in the special and the taxes on 73,120. We do have a small maintenance budget in the Colebrook line item. Just so you know, we have to maintain some equipment there because the Army Corps is still there. So there is $100,000 worth of expenses there. It's very small. Just so you know that you're not surprised that there is a small expenses there. It's very minimal. I just don't want anybody to be surprised. We do not get any revenue for it. But we do have to keep some small things there for the generator that is there because the Army Corps still has to go in and out of the facility.
And the real estate taxes, Lisa, those are paid from which budget?
They come from 73,120, the taxes and fees budget. 73,100. It's the $3,810,500 allotment that you see in the budget under taxes and fees. That's where the Barkhamsted Colebrook would come from for their taxes that we pay there.
We also have if we were to resolve the issue with the Army Corps at Colebrook, the initial plan was there is a platform that was built by the MDC back in the 80s, and that platform is a steel platform that would need to be removed. Initially, the plan was to remove that platform until we had a stalemate with the Army Corps over the agreement. But that platform would need to be removed by the MDC, and that's what we had initially agreed to with the Army Corps until they backed away from their position or our position of terminating the entire program, including the maintenance costs associated with the Colebrook Dam. So There is an expense there that we, I don't know if Chris Levesque, are you on the line?
Yes, this is Chris Levesque.
So, Chris, that money is to remove that platform. Has that, is that part of that budget, or is that separate and distinct?
That would be separate and distinct. We do have some capital money associated with this, but yes, we could use operating as well for the removal of the equipment that you talked about, the catwalk and also the crane.
Yeah, and the reason why we didn't remove it was the plan was we were hoping that the Army Corps would accept it because they need the, there's a crane there that the MDC paid for back in the day, in the early 90s. So the plan was to leave the platform and the crane for the purposes of the Army Corps so that they could do what they needed to do with their gates that relieve water from behind the dam. And they had at the last moment decided that they didn't want it and they wanted to have us remove it. So there is an expense there that once this issue gets resolved with the Army Corps, we'll have to figure out whether those that platform, steel platform stays or whether we have to remove it.
Okay. So the budget for hydroelectric expenditures and revenues, it's $409,100 is the, it says designated from total hydroelectric. That's an expenditure, $409,100. There's a $264,900 revenue from operations. But the total for hydroelectric is an expenditure of 409.1. Is that correct? That's what it says on this page. It basically says 409,100 for the operation, an appropriation for the operation of the hydro program.
And then it Chris Levesque, can you answer that the question on the hydro side?
Yeah, so it's titled as far as the hydroelectric expenditures and revenues, details out as far as the power sales and the interest income. This is looking as its revenues associated with hydroelectric of 409,100. There is a line that says 264,9 in support operations. I believe this would be our expenses associated with expenditures associated with hydroelectric due to staff and other things.
So just remember this in terms of hydro. The reason why the MDC, so remember, we built the Goodwin Dam in the 60s, early 50s, mid 50s, and then 60 was Goodwin Dam was built. And then the Army Corps built their dam later in 67. So remember, the reason why we staffed Goodwin was because of managing and maintaining a dam, which if it fails can kill lots of people. And the inundation maps and all of the things that we do to protect the watershed towns, Tim Anthony and his staff that manage those dams, that's what they do. But then in the 80s, we said, hey, why don't we build hydro into these dams and make some money since we're here anyways? So the point is, with or without hydro, we still have a maintenance expense of managing that dam, now just Goodwin, but managing that dam and managing the flow to the river. So as you know, we're responsible to release a minimum of 50 CFS, which is 32 million gallons a day, every day to the West Branch of the Farmers River. All of that work that goes into complying with those riparian rights and all that good stuff is what our hydro group does. So that's that 264, which is the operational expense. As Chris mentioned, if, correct me if I'm wrong, Chris, but the 409 is the revenue piece.
That's associated solely with the Goodwin Hydro stop. That's anticipated through the generation from Goodwin Hydro.
Okay. And so when you look at that's why the Colebrook Hydro didn't make sense to us, because when you look at the payback, you know, if it's costing you $264,000 to maintain something and you're only making $400,000 a year, you start to say, you know, does this make sense? But the problem in Goodwin is we built Goodwin for a very different reason than why we built the hydro at Colebrook. We built Colebrook because the Army Corps said, we're coming in here, we're building a hydro dam specifically for flood control, and you're our partner, and you have no choice in it. And we had no choice, and we did it. And but Goodwin, we have to be there for our own reasons, and that involves, you know, flow management of the river, controlling riparian rights. So we don't look at it at Goodwin as simply a business decision. Does it make sense? Are we making enough money on hydro to pay the operational expenses because of our own obligations to the river? On Colebrook, we had that ability to say it's a business decision. We're achieving our stream flow at Goodwin, not at Colebrook. So therefore, it's truly a business decision. Are we making enough money on hydro to support the maintenance costs associated with it? And the answer was no. And given the fact that we needed to invest $6 million to improve the aging infrastructure, made it even easier to on the life cycle cost analysis to say it doesn't make any sense. So two different animals, but there is a revenue. But even if we didn't make any money on revenue at Goodwin, we'd still have to be there to manage the flow to the river.
I think everybody is interested in hearing about that, Scott. And I hope during the course of the next year, we can talk, you know, more about what benefits we actually do get out of managing Goodwin, which we own, which we built and own. But for now, on the hydro expenditure and revenue, I think what you just said, you got those two numbers backwards from what it says on the printed, you know, amendment that's right in front of us here. It's on page 4D. Is that it, John Myrtle? So what that says on 4D is that, let me see. The Board of Finance recommends the District Board for acceptance and approval an appropriation of $409,100 for the operation of the hydroelectric program. That's an expenditure. I just want to make sure I get this right. And it says further voting that the Board of Finance recommends to the District Board for acceptance and approval estimated hydroelectric revenues of $264,900 in support of operations as follows. And it just says, you know, power sales, 4051, interest income, 4,000, designated from surplus, zero, and total hydroelectric, 4091. So I'm asking if somebody can explain that to me, because I'm confused.
Yeah, Lisa Remsen.
Numbers, and I think there's a mistake here. But if there isn't, I apologize. But I think there
that's a good question, Ms.
Yes,
Chairman. Lisa Remsen.
Hi, it's Lisa Remsen, Manager of Budgeting. The expenses are $409,100, and the power sales should be the $264,900.
Okay, so that number that's there, the 4051, somebody's got to change that.
Should be $260,900 should be the power sales.
Okay.
That is in the budget on page. It's on page D, 30, of the budget. D29, D30.
Okay, so I'm only interested in what we need to do in order for this vote to go forward. Do we need to change the number that we're voting on? Or not? That's what I need to know.
Yes. This is John Myrtle. Yes, that the proposed resolution. Sounds like the paragraphs are correct, but the breakdown of the numbers, if I understood Lisa correctly, the power sales, rather than $405,100, that should be $260,900,000. Yeah.
Okay, so we don't need an amendment for this, John. We can just make this correction, acknowledge that what's there is wrong, and make this correction, and then vote on it.
Yeah, if someone wants to, propose an amendment without objection.
Okay. So
move.
We have an amendment, and without objection, you know, we're going to correct these numbers, and then we're going to vote on it. Okay. So does anybody need those numbers read back to them again or not? If not, I'll ask for a vote for the hydroelectric expenditures and revenues as corrected by the amendment. All in favor signify by saying aye.
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 Any opposed? Any abstentions? Hearing none, the motion carries unanimously. Thank you for bearing with us on that one, but apparently the numbers got reversed or something there, so I just want to make sure we got them right. Item number 4E, referral of proposed 2021 budget to the district board. Are we prepared to move on item 4E?
Mr. Chairman?
Yes.
These are all the amendments that were included in the proposal we did a week ago or two or three days ago on this. Is that right, John?
This is John Myrtle. The agenda items 4A through D are, kind of the budget package. So that does have the amendments, but again, agenda item 7 is the ad valorem tax, and there is one more, the proposed amendment to keep the ad valorem at the same as the 2020 total tax. So as far as the budget package, yes, all those amendments have been addressed, but agenda item 7 on ad valorem, there will be one more amendment.
So we can't send this to the board till we put all that together.
No, you can act on 4E to refer the budget.
Okay. How are you going to handle the stuff that came over from the Water Bureau?
The Board of Finance approved item 4B, the expenditures. If they wanted to reduce the water rate, it could have been considered there. If in this referral, somebody could make a motion to instruct request the board to address the water rate. So far tonight, the Board of Finance has approved the CIP expenditures, revenues, and hydro budget. So that component of the budget is completed by Board of Finance.
Okay, Mr. Chairman.
Yes. Go ahead, Bill. I'll let you finish.
That means that we would be adopting on this next vote to send that portion of the budget to the Board of Finance. I mean, to the board, general board.
Yes, correct.
Okay, and that has in it and you're saying the ad valorem would be a separate, and that would be sent also to the board.
Correct.
Okay. Well, I guess that's the way you're doing it. That's fine with me. Okay.
The only issue that I'm glad you brought that up, Bill. The only issue that came across from, I want to make sure that we understand whether we need to take an action on it or we can just not act on it. It came across from the Water Bureau was the Berlin Water Commission issue. And is that something that's anywhere in this, John? Because frankly, we didn't get the same recommendation from the Bureau of Public Works. We didn't get any recommendation from the Bureau of Public Works about this. This is a longstanding issue that For some reason, the Water Bureau decided to try to resolve, but, you know, I'm not sure that this year's budget is the place to do it. But that doesn't turn up anywhere in here. They weren't even, they're not able on their own to add that to the budget. But
Mr. Chairman,
that if I, does for action. That's what I'm asking you. Do we
Mr.
have
Chairman,
to
if I may, Chris Stone,
the Water
Bureau referred that to the District Board for consideration at some point, but it's not before you tonight. It will probably not be before the District Board on December 7th. But it is something that we will research and look at and perhaps come back to you in January of next year.
All right. Thank you. I just want to make sure that no one expects us to actually act on that as a separate item.
No.
Because we're not going to. Yeah. Okay.
That's a fair question. And no, you're not being asked to act on that tonight.
Okay. So we're still on item 4E, and we need someone to make a motion to refer the proposed budget to the District Board.
Go ahead, somebody.
Move the item.
Motion's been made. Is there a second?
Second.
All right, and is there any further discussion on this motion, or can we go directly to a vote? Any further questions or discussion? We still have the other items, 5 through 7, yet to do. So, you know, okay, so all in favor signify by saying aye.
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 Aye. Any opposed? Any abstentions? So item E is passed unanimously, and we've referred the proposed 2021 budget to the District Board. So item number 5, potential action regarding the 2021 District Sewer User Charge Rates and Other Service Charges. Sewer charges. Sorry. So these rates have all been. If you look through the materials, you see they're all. Whatever's in red is what's proposed to change from the current. Is that correct, John Myrtle? I'm just, you know, there are items like, for instance, page 5-2 changes the. I'm looking at water. There are proposed changes, and those changes are in red. Is that correct?
This is John Myrtle. Yes, that's correct. So this agenda item, it sets the sewer user charge, and then it also sets the clean water project charge, and it also has the liquid waste discharge fee, which is applicable to the Hartford landfill. And then there is a schedule of miscellaneous charges that are, as you described, any proposed changes are identified in red.
Okay, so you have those materials. I guess if you can click on the materials, the little icon next to item number 5, you'll wind up seeing those. Are there any questions? Any further questions? These have already been developed. There aren't changes to these. This is just what was proposed. Are there any further questions on the sewer user issue? Is that what we call it? This one is? Sewer charges. The sewer user charge and other sewer charges. So, is there a motion to adopt this?
Move adopt.
Duration potential. Okay, and this is potential action regarding the 2021 District Sewer User Charge Rates and other charges. Is there a second?
Second.
Motion's been made and seconded. Are there any other comments, questions? Hearing none, all in favor signify by saying aye.
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 Okay. Any opposed? Any abstentions? Hearing none, the motion carries unanimously. Item number 5. Item number 6. Consideration and potential action regarding setting the district's 2021 referendum threshold. I'm going to ask Chris Stone, can you please explain this just quickly? Because I'm not sure that some of the newer members know what this issue is. So would you just quickly do that? Or John Myrtle, I don't either one.
No, we can do it. No, I can do it. No. We this is Chris Stone. We had for years our threshold for going to referendum was any capital project that exceeded $5 million. We then had that amended to any project, capital project that exceeded $20 million. And then in a by special act from, let me see if I have the date. Of,
2000,
I think it was
2015,
three years ago,
Chris.
I think it was 3 years ago. What's that?
It was 2015.
Yeah, here it is. From 2015, we were able to get a special act that passed by the legislature, which added a CPI index accelerator to our $20 million referendum rule. So each year, the Board of Finance has to make a calculation as to what the new threshold will be for going out to referendum on capital on single capital capital projects. So we've done it over the past 4 years. This is now the fifth year, and so we take the whatever the threshold was last year. We add a CPI index, which has been calculated to be 1.40%. We add that to the threshold from last year, and we get to the $21,842,967 threshold amount. And so that needs to be approved by the Board of Finance.
Okay. And this is basically for any project that costs that much or more has to go to
any single project. Any single project that any single project that costs that much or more has to go to a referendum.
Okay.
And that is total, Mr. Chairman. That's total project cost. That includes everything. That includes bonding costs, legal costs, all those things. It's not just construction,
right.
Design, everything.
That's correct.
Okay, and I want to assure the members of the Board of Finance, particularly some of the new members that maybe haven't come across this before, that this right now we're doing this as part of the adoption of the budget, but this does not affect the budget in any way. So, John Myrtle, you know, maybe you can just briefly explain that, but this is not costing us anything more or less on the budget. This is neutral with the budget, my understanding.
That's correct, Mr. Chairman. It's Chris Stone. That's correct. This is merely an acknowledgement or a statement of what the new threshold will be for 2021.
Okay, thank you. And thank you for your patience while we explain that. But I'm sure that people like to know this is not something that's easy to get exactly what we're voting on. So I wanted to make sure it got explained. So thanks for doing that. So with this resolution, I'll ask for a motion. I believe we didn't get a motion yet for item number six. So is there a motion to adopt the resolution? I get a motion to adopt the resolution of item number six, please.
So moved.
Second.
Motion made and seconded.
Sorry, this is John Myrtle. Can whoever made that motion please state your name just for the minutes?
The member Sagai.
Thank you.
Thank you. I appreciate that. Appreciate getting that off the ground. Since it's not going to affect the budget at all, I think we can agree on it. But, you know, so all in favor of item number six, please signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Any opposed? Any abstentions? Motion carries unanimously. We'll move to item number seven, consideration of potential action regarding the 2021 tax on member municipalities.
And this is John Myrtle. There is an amendment to reduce the original proposed ad valorem tax total from approximately $53 million down to keep it steady with the 2020 total tax of approximately $51
million. Right.
Move adoption.
Right. And if anybody wants to see that, thank you, Bill. Is there a second to that motion?
Second.
Okay, motion is made and seconded. If anybody wants to see that, it is basically on page 7-2. The materials, when you open them up, and you can see the exact total is $51,475,700.
Got it.
So we're voting to keep that number exactly the same this year. So there's zero increase. There's no discount against it either. So it's the same as last year. So all in favor, please signify by saying aye.
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 Any opposed? Any abstentions? Hearing none, the motion carries unanimously for item number 7. All right, so item number 8 is opportunity for general public comments. Is there anyone?
Mr. Chairman, this is Dave Silverstone, if I may.
Go ahead, Mr. Silverstone.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. I don't want to belabor the point, and it's unfortunate that there were several comments that mischaracterized my proposal regarding the payroll. I have not suggested any cuts to any positions as set forth by management. The proposal I was making merely recognizes that and takes into account for budgetary purposes that all authorized positions are not filled every day of the year. So it's a monetary adjustment. It is not any change to any position. So I think that's important to keep in mind. But thank you for the opportunity.
And I understand. I understood exactly what you were saying, Mr. Silverstone. And I want to just add to that just by saying, you know, you may be very well be right that they're not filled for every day of the year. But I think what Scott has said and what I know from my own experience in business and trying to accomplish the same thing is that we don't have any idea of how many days that it's not filled. That issue is exacerbated here at the district, and you heard Scott say it. So because each one of those positions has to be in a department, which means that the amounts have to be distributed across the departments, and there's no way really to do that either by percentage or proportion or anything. It has to do with who's leaving, who's retiring, and who's not. So, you know, I think that Scott's looked at it, and I think the comments that you heard certainly from me were that we've made every effort, I think, that there is that we can make with respect to personnel at the MDC. More than anyone else that's asked us to make them, we've made that. And I think that if we're going to look for savings, and I don't know where else we could look for it, I certainly appreciated, Mr. Silverstone, your comments on the hydro plant, and took them very seriously to heart because it was my understanding, and we're in general comments, it was my understanding last year that the monies that we had to set aside, this would be the $1.4 million we're talking about now, was to close out, and this is what I thought I heard, to close out our participation in the hydroelectric thing. That all that was left was the platform, and they wanted to use it, so we let them keep it. Now they don't need it anymore, so we're going to take it down. But I thought we were done with it last year, and what I heard this year is that the $1.4 million, and maybe more than that, that the Army Corps understands that we owe that to them in perpetuity. So that definitely changed my mind about this, about the lawsuit, and about whether we should hold any money in advance, because we cannot afford to lose that argument. We can't keep handing over $1.4 million to the federal government every year with absolutely no benefit in it for the water customers. So I appreciate your comment on that, and I thought that it was very useful to me. I appreciate it. With respect to the salaries and everything, I think we've done everything we can, Mr. Silverstone, but you certainly have a right to your opinion. So is there someone else with a general comment? General public comments? Okay, hearing none. Any commissioner comments or questions? Any commissioners or comments or questions?
Mm-hmm.
Okay, so go ahead. Did somebody want to make a comment? Go ahead. I thought I heard somebody say that they wanted to make a comment. If not,
I don't think
then, okay. So this is going to be sent, John, this is going to be sent to the district board for which meeting now? What would be the date of the meeting this goes to the district board?
December 7th.
Okay, so these items will be on the agenda of district board on December 7th. All right. Without objection, then, I'd like to call for adjournment. And thank you
before,
all very much.
Before you do, yes. Mr. Chairman,
okay.
As chairman of the board, I would like to thank everybody for their participation, the public members. It's a grind. It's very time-consuming. And
yes.
Also to commend the chairman for a very positive and very effective and efficient job. This is a very difficult process when we're remote and not active in terms of the process. And all of the members that participated, it was handled as it would be according to Robert's Rules of Order, and I commend the chairman for his time and patience and ability to endeavor, and everybody else. So thank you very much.
Excellent. Thank you.
Thank you. Thank you, Mr.
Thank
Chairman.
You.
Okay, so without objection, meeting is adjourned. Thank you all very,
all right.
very much.
Okay, bye-bye. Good night.